goes up and up from there. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm excited, and between all the difficulties in my life, and between back issues and colds and sicknesses and children, it's just like, oh, it's good to be here. It's good to be back, and so I'm excited to see what the Lord is going to do, and seeing how He has been moving in a mighty way, and not just in my life, but in others' lives as well. And so I pray that through our sharing of our testimonies, that there's a contagion that catches over this next coming year. That is just, hey, this is the place to come. Not because the people are anything different, we're just people. But we see that the cloud has hovered over this place. And the glory of the Lord is being shown out from this place. And people come here and, it's like, we're like cars that our batteries have died sometimes. And, out of the Torah, I don't know, maybe Dave, we can hook up some spiritual jumper cables out here and people can just hook up to the Torah and just... get, what they call it, a hot box? Is that what they call those little boxes that come out so we can hot box off the Word of God and we can get charged up? So people say, hey, this is the place that I can get charged. This is the place that I can be refreshed. And so that is going to be my prayer for this coming year, that's the reputation that God gives us in this community. And so looking forward to that. So and it's interesting because, we want to see God appear in this place so that we can be charged up. And that's the title of the Torah portion this week. The Torah portion is called Ve'ara, which means, and I appeared. Who's the I? It's God. God appeared. And see, we see some things that are taking place here, and our focus is going to be on Exodus chapter 6. And of course, I would encourage you to read the entire Torah portion this week, which is Exodus 6 through Exodus 9. And then the Brit Hadashah portion is Matthew 12, verses 1 through 14. I encourage you to read those. We're going to focus on a couple of verses here in chapter 6, which I think are very instrumental. And God really spoke to me this week through this. And we see here that here we find the children of Israel, they're trapped. They're enslaved. They're in Egypt. And we read through the history of what has taken place. The children of Israel have settled in the land of Goshen. And they were given the best of the best. And there came a Pharaoh who did not know God, did not know Joseph. He came in and he said, hey, wait a second here. These Jews are too numerous. If we don't take care of this issue now, if we don't make them slaves, they're going to rise up and take what I have conquered. And so, with that, there was some discouragement that was taking place amongst the children of Israel here. And, when Moses first came back to Egypt, and as we've looked through our previous Torah portions, you remember that Moses was away. He tried to take matters into his own hands. He killed an Egyptian. The word got out. So he says, I'm out of here. And he took off to the land of Midian, and he hung out there for 40 years. And so he was there, and during this time period, he came back, and the children of Israel were hopeless. Exodus 5 verse 21 says, then they said to them, may Hashem look upon you and judge you, for you have made us odious in Pharaoh's sight and in the sights of his servants, to put a sword in their hands to kill us. They had no hope because they were targets. They had a target on their back. They were slaves. And, and I think about this, especially as, kind of looking and reflecting on my life, and I started to get discouraged. I'll be completely honest with you. I've been kind of discouraged as of late over these past couple of weeks. And, there's life struggles that we all go through. And when these life struggles, after we face a disappointment, isn't it hard to hope again? And I know as I'm raising my children, I know that disappointment can lead to rebellion as well. If I set my kids up and put myself in a position and then in their eyes I become a failure, they get disappointed in me. And if they get too disappointed, then they're going to eventually rebel. And so with that, it's kind of a natural tendency. And so getting some disappointment started to lose some hope. Wow, I don't see any light at the end of this tunnel. Man, it's sure dark in this place. There were some life disappointments there. But, in the Torah, God here is reassuring Moses that his plans are in motion despite the apparent setbacks, that were in place by the Egyptians. And as I looked at my finances, and for those of you who know, I did something, I pulled a Mr. Finance guy this week, and I said, okay, you know what, I'm going to figure out how much of that gross income that we're making actually comes into our household. 55% of our gross income goes to taxes and health care. 55%. And that's the gross. That's not the net. That's the gross. Before I get my hands on any of that, 55% of that is for taxes. I'm just like, oh, this is ridiculous. And I'm struggling and I'm losing hope. But what does God say? Hey, in spite of this current administration, I am here. Well, God, you're going to have to do something because I can't afford this tax bill. Ring, ring, ring. Hi, this is Violet from Schools First Federal Credit Union. And we looked at your case and we realized we made a mistake. And so management decided that they're going to pay half of your taxes. Okay, Lord, you got half of that done. I don't know where the other half is coming. But half of it is done. Ring, ring, ring. Hey, God put you on my heart. And, you know, I had in my small business, I had a big client. And they actually did some year-end spending. And so we've got a tithe and we don't know where to spend it. Do you need any money? How much do you need? $1,400. Wow, okay, that's the amount that God says that you guys need. I've already got the check. I'll send it to you. Okay, I get it. I get it. I get it. But it's still a struggle, right? Because it's like, you know, there's all these other worries, you know. Instead of one case of diapers every other week, it's now two cases of diapers. And all these mouths to feed, including my own. But with that, you know what? We need to be reassured. And I need to speak this for myself. Jim, I need to be reassured that this is part of God's plan. And He will take care of me. He will take care of you. Amen? Amen. And how does He take care of us? By His name. By my name, Yahweh. The Yahweh, Jehovah. By His name, God. By His name, Yeshua. By His name, Jesus. Right? By His name, He takes care of us. And Exodus 6 verse 2 says, God spoke further to Moshe, to Moses, and said to him, I am the Lord, I am Hashem. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, El Gabor. But by my name, Yahweh, I did not make myself known to them. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had faith in God even though he didn't know what his name was. And that's kind of amazing. And that's a good lesson for us too. Is because, you know, Romans chapter 1 talks about that creation itself points to God. And we've seen, you know, things like a fascinating book about the witness of the stars. And for those of you who know me, I'm just, you know, going, you know, love my astronomy. How, when you look at the ancient names of the constellations, it was basically the testimony of God and Jesus and the sacrifice that Jesus was going to make. When you look at the original names of the constellations before the Greeks decided to get there and change them. Fascinating. The Sphinx, you know, the head of a woman and the body of a lion. That was actually the starting point in the constellations. Where do we start the story? We start with the virgin and we end with the lion, the victorious lion of the tribe of Judah. Amazing things. So people don't have to say the name Jesus to be saved. They just have to acknowledge that there's God Almighty and it's through His plan of redemption. The witness is out there. It's all throughout creation. And people groups that have been separated from other people groups for thousands of years know the truth. And they know the commandments because God has written commandments upon their heart. I find that fascinating. But for those of us who have the scripture, we know that it's by His name, Yahweh. By His name. So we do know His name. And this is the first time we see the teaching of the name. And there is power in the name. Joel chapter 2, 32 says, and it will come about, whoever calls on the name of Hashem will be delivered. Hashem, the name. Whoever calls upon Yahweh will be delivered. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there are those who escape, as Yahweh has said, even amongst the survivors who Yahweh calls. And it's interesting that there's a, you know, I did a little word study on this word delivered. What does that mean, to be delivered? Does it mean like I'm a package and UPS got me to somebody's doorstep by Christmas? Or actually not by Christmas this year, right? Is that what it means to be delivered? And I looked at it, and it's from the word malat, which means to release or rescue. We have been released. What have we been released from? Sin, right? We have been rescued. What have we been rescued from? Those of us who believe in the name of the Lord, not only have been released from sin, but we've been rescued from the consequences of sin. We've been malat. We've been delivered. We've escaped. We've been preserved. We have been saved. That's what that word malat means. And of course, the point here is it's only God who can save us. It's only God who can save you. It's only God who can save me. And all we have to do is to call upon Him specifically for deliverance. If we're out in the bush and we don't know His name, we just call upon the mighty God. But here we know His name. His name is Jesus. His name is Yeshua. His name is Yahweh. We call upon His name to be delivered. To be delivered. And so with that, we have hope. We have hope. And it's interesting, because in Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, we see this is the proof text that is used during the Passover service when we have the four cups that we drank. And let's read the verse. You know, let me read this verse to you. It's Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. It says, "I am Yahweh, I am Hashem, and I will bring you out from the burdens of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from their bondage. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm with great judgments. Then I will take you for my people. I will be your God, and you shall know that I am Hashem, your God, who brought you out from under the burden of the Egyptians." So we see the four cups of Passover within this passage. The first of all is the cup of sanctification. I will bring you out from under the burdens. We've been sanctified. What burdens are that? Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. Cup two, deliverance. I will deliver you. You will escape from bondage. The third cup, the cup of blessing. This was, you know, the cup that Yeshua, when He lifted up and said, then when He was doing the final Passover service, we might know that as the Last Supper, but it's the final Passover service. It was the third cup that he quit with. He didn't go to the fourth cup. And the third cup is the cup of blessing. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Did He not redeem us with outstretched arms? Yes, He did. And of course, the fourth cup is Hallel, the cup of praise. I will take you for my people, and I will be your God. So the first cup, sanctifications, has to do with burdens. And during the Passover service, we eat something called Charoset, which it's made, made from fruit and from nuts, and it looks like mud, to remind us that at Passover of the mud and brick and the mortar work that the Israelites did while they were enslaved in Egypt. It's a reminder of these things, of the burdens that they had to carry. And burdens come in various ways, right? Even today, you know, not all of us are bricklayers by force. I don't know anybody here who lays bricks by. Dave, maybe, if Barb says she needs a new wall built, lays them by force, right? But you know, that's not something that we're accustomed to. But what are some burdens? How about burdens of work? Being at a dead-end job. I know some of you were in places where very abusive to you. That's a burden, right? Or how about a burden because of financial issues or concerns? Isn't that sometimes burdensome? I know I've been carrying that burden for these past couple of weeks. Yeah. Burden of debt. You know, I don't understand this, and my wife doesn't get it either, but we were talking with one of her friends yesterday and was sharing that her cousin, who doesn't have any money, but yet, you know, somehow ended up with a, you know, big 55-inch flat-screen TV and a new iPhone and iPhones for the kids and everything else, but yet demands, well, I don't have any money. Or her mom, who's like, oh, I'm broke, I can't do anything. But yet, where's she at? She's off skiing in Utah for the next couple of weeks because that's her winter vacation. But yet she's broke and doesn't have any money. But yet this summer she's going to Europe for 6 weeks. They get into all this debt and stuff so they can do all these things and have all these crazy things, and they sit out their hand. That's something the Scripture doesn't want us to do. They're burdened by debt, and the Scripture says to owe no man nothing. And I tell you, sometimes it's a lot easier if you don't have cash for it. You just don't buy it. It makes that decision a lot easier. Should I buy it? Should I not? I don't have any money. Okay, well, that's an easy one, right? Or what about the burden of illness or physical issues? That can sometimes be a difficult one to carry. I know Pastor Dave can tell you that, with his struggles that he's had, and he knows that he's alive for a reason, for a purpose. But yet, because of his physical issues, that sometimes he just doesn't have the physical strength to do all the things that he would like to do. He doesn't have it. That's a burden. Or there's the burden in family relationships, right? I mean, so let me ask this honestly. How many of you have never had any family drama in your life? Raise your hand. Yeah, there's no hands up. Yeah, can that sometimes be a burden? You know, I saw a joke on the internet the other day. It says, if you don't have a crazy relative that you pull out of the closet every year for the holidays, that crazy relative just might be you. But, I mean, it's true. There's family issues. That's a burden. Well, you know what? Those are some of the things that we face in life. But you know what? There's also spiritual burdens. We've got the burdens that come with sin. The burdens that come with guilt, burdens that come with condemnation. You know, the second guessing. Hindsight's always 20/20, isn't it? And for some analytical thinkers, I always look back and if I wouldn't have done this, and if I would have done this, and if I wouldn't have done this, things would have been much different. We carry that junk around with us, don't we? The woulda, shoulda, couldas. You know what? That's a burden. That is a burden. And remember, the same God who liberated Israel of the burden of the brick and the mortar is the same God that wants to liberate His people today from these things. He's the same God. He's the same God. And so, what is the solution? What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to give our burdens to Yeshua Jesus. Matthew 11:28, and this is Jesus speaking, he says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and loaded down with burdens, and I will give you Shabbat. I will give you rest." So the first cup is the cup of deliverance. God will deliver you from your burdens. But we have to remember that God is a gentleman. God is not going to be, oh, look, you know, the rabbi, he's got some burdens. I'm just going to reach down and I'm going to just grab them from him. No, we have to give the burdens to God. We have to recognize what those burdens are, right? We have to confess those things to God and give them to Him. And then He will take those burdens from us and He will give us rest. Amen? So that's the first cup, the burdens. And that's why we've been sanctified. The second cup is deliverance. God will deliver us from bondage. And bondage is, you know, think of it, somebody, it's held by something that they cannot liberate themselves from. When you're under bondage, you can't get out of it yourselves. And, I think of even today, there's slavery today. It's a common occurrence in many Islamic countries for Muslims to enslave Christians because of their faith. You'll see Christian families, and we don't hear about it in our news today, but over here, and because we don't want to acknowledge the atrocities that are taking place, because it's not politically correct to pick on Muslims right now. But the truth of the matter is that there are Christian families on a daily basis having their children kidnapped and sold into slavery to other Muslims. And Christians are being killed on a daily basis in many of these Middle Eastern countries that are run by Sharia law. That's a matter of fact. There is bondage that is there. There's some bondage that we have even here. Addictions, drugs, alcohol, nicotine, gluttony, immorality. You know, basically anything you can find a 12-step program for, that's bondage. And you know what? These addicts are really unable to exercise self-control over their own behavior. And I think that this 12-step programs, I think Bill W. fell short. And he fell short in this aspect. He just said, well, you know what? People just need to acknowledge that there's a higher power that can deliver them. There's only one higher power. Let's plug them into the right power source. The only power that can deliver anybody from these things is Jesus. He is it. He is it. That's why, you know, my preference is for groups like Celebrate Recovery, where they recognize that the only higher power that can deliver people from bondage is Jesus Himself. And it's true. I mean, Luke chapter 4 says, the Spirit, and this is Yeshua speaking, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to tell good news to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set oppressed people free, and to announce the year of the Lord's favor. Yeah, there's release from prisoners, even if we've created our own prison through an addiction, right? There's a release. And of course, John 8:34 says, you know, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I tell you that everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the household forever, but the son does remain forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You know, the second cup is deliverance. God will deliver you from bondage, from addictions, from slavery. He will. He will. So whatever that addiction is, and you know, people come to me, well, Rabbi, you don't understand. You've never partied. Rabbi, you never understand. You don't know what it's like to hang out with the Marlboro man. Yeah. Rabbi, you don't understand. You know, I can't deal with life's problems unless I have a bottle, you know, if I hang out with my friend Jack and Jim. Oh, those guys, I used to hang out with those guys. You know? You don't understand. The marijuana just expands my mind, you know? Been there, done that. These are all addictions. And I figure if somebody like me, God can deliver me from all these things, then I know He's willing to do all these things for you as well. So there's some bondages that God wants you to be delivered from. If you're struggling, He will deliver. He will deliver. And that's part of what Cleansing Stream is all about, is getting to those deep-rooted issues and getting you cleansed from that bondage. So I'm going to keep on plugging Cleansing Stream and Cleansing Stream tools just because it's fabulous and it works. It's Bible-based and it works. So a little plug here, if you're interested in deeper deliverance, see Pastor Dave after the service, and he'll let he's going to let us know when our next Cleansing Stream class and retreat is going to be. Let's get delivered, and let's get our brothers and sisters and our friends delivered as well. Amen? Amen. So the third cup is the cup of redemption. For something to be redeemed, it has to be bought with a price. And I think of, every time I have one of those vitamin waters that my wife gets for me, and it says California Redemption Value. They can be redeemed for a price, right? Yeah, what's the price? 5 cents. Yeah, we all know what it's worth, right? But think about it, you know, and redemption is being bought with a price. And I think about history, you know, in the days after the apostles, you know, the Romans, they really crushed the Jews in Judea and Jerusalem. And what they did is they carried many of them off into slavery into other parts of the world. So what the sages of that generation did is they raised money from within the Jewish communities, and they would go out and find a Jew that was enslaved, and they would take that money and pay for that Jew to be set free. And that's what happened, you know, in the second and third century, is that they did this. They travel around from city to city looking for people in bondage, looking for Jews in bondage. Pay and have them redeemed. And so interesting is because we have a spiritual redemption. Because we have been bought with a price, right? It's the blood of Yeshua Jesus. And in our battle with darkness, humanity stands in need of redemption when it comes to spiritual redemption. Our disobedience to God has made us unwittingly loyal to Satan. If we're disobedient to God, we're loyal to Satan. But Yeshua Jesus came to redeem us from the clutches of the adversary. And Yeshua paid the ransom price with His very life. And those who believe in Him are the redeemed. Those who believe in Him are the redeemed. Psalm 107 says, "Oh, give thanks to Hashem, for He is good, for His grace is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who has redeemed us from the hand of the adversary." God's grace, through God's grace we are redeemed. Yeshua Jesus paid the price to redeem us when He died on the cross for us 2,000 years ago. Amen? Yeah. And so that's the third cup. Now the fourth cup has to do with praise. And we praise God because we are His people, right? Because we have been redeemed and we've been considered His people. We give Him praise. So God went a step further than just helping the children of Israel with their burdens. God wants to go a step further than just helping you with your burdens and your bondage. He did more than just pay the price of redemption. He adopted us. He adopted us and made us part of His family. John 1, verses 12 and 13, it says, "However, to all who received Him, to those believing in His name, He gave authority." He gave authority. He gave authority to become God's children, who were born not merely in a physical sense or from a fleshly impulse or from man's desire, but were born of God. We have authority, yeah. And of course, the point here is if you have received Yeshua, if you have received Jesus as your master and as your Savior, and believe that He is the only way of salvation, that He is God, that He is Yeshua, which Yeshua means salvation, right? Yeah. Then you are part of God's family and you have all the rights and all the privileges that come with being a part of God's family. And so that's why we give praise to God, is because the one who knew no sin became sin on our behalf. And so that's why we have hope in that fourth cup, that cup of praise. Because when this life is over, how are we going to spend eternity? Praising God, right? Praising God as part of His family. So the challenge here, and there's several challenge questions I have today, is, you know, first of all, the message and the statement here, the message of the gospel is a message of hope. If you feel hopelessness, then the gospel is going to fall upon deaf ears. We have to have hope before we can hear the good news that God has for us. But doesn't God give hope to the hopeless? Yes, He does. Yes, He does. So, with that, I'm just going to ask that everyone bow their heads and close their eyes for a moment. And just, between you and God, I just want to ask you some questions. So that way, we can pray for you. And you guys know me. I don't like point to people specifically. I've never talked to somebody after a message that says, "Hey, I see that you're struggling with blah, blah, blah." Because I can't fix you. God is the only one that can fix you, and that's if you allow Him to. Amen? So my first question is anyone here struggling because of the hurdles that have gotten in the way, that have robbed you of spiritual joy or progress? And you're like, "Oh, hey, I need prayer because of some things that have gotten in the way." Yeah, God bless you. My hand's up here too, I'll be honest. Amen. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. Praise God. Okay. Yeah, we need prayer because we've lost hope. Have you recognized that Yahweh, that Yeshua, Jesus, is the only God and it's through what He did. He can save your soul. If you've given your life to the Lord, I want to praise the Lord with you. Just raise your hand and say, I've given my life to the Lord. I have accepted Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Are you carrying a burden that you shouldn't be? And you know you need to put it down and give it to God? If that's you, say, Rabbi, just pray for me. I'm carrying a burden that I shouldn't. Amen. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. God bless you. Yeah, why don't you just right now identify what that burden is and speak that to the Lord. Lord, I am struggling with the burden of. Ask Him to help you with that burden. Is there anything that's holding you in bondage? Any addictions? Slaves? Is there somebody who says, hey, I'm a slave to something? Might be alcohol, might be tobacco, might be adultery, might be gluttony, drugs, any of that. Say, hey, you know, I want to recognize that I've struggled with these things and I need some release. Would you just pray for me? If that's you, just lift your hand up. Okay, God bless you. Maybe the Spirit's saying, hey, you know what? You've never called upon the name of Jesus. You never asked Jesus to come into your heart. You know, and a good litmus test for that is, ask yourself, honestly, if I died right now, where would I spend eternity? And if the response is, well, I would go to heaven because I've done this or I've done that. The Scripture says that, it's not as a result of works, but it's a result of putting our faith and trust in Jesus for salvation. If you've never given your life to Jesus, you've never asked Him to come into your heart, you've never surrendered your life to Him, I just want to pray for you. If that's you, just slip your hand up and just say, pray for me. I've never done that before. Pray for me, Rabbi. Are there some of you that you've allowed your burdens and your baggage to hold you back from serving God the way that He wants you to serve Him, and that's become an excuse? Well, I can't serve God because I'm not qualified. I can't serve God because I'm not blah, blah, blah. You know, praise God that He doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. If that's you, raise your hand. Say, I need to praise you. God bless you. There's a hand that just couldn't wait to get up there. Praise God. Because I'm going to pray for you as well. So, Father, I just thank You for my brothers and sisters, Lord, who have been honest here before Your throne, Lord, and have shared that they are struggling. And, Lord, I just ask that whatever it is, Lord, if it's a burden, Lord, that they, if it's a sin issue, Lord, I thank You for Your word that says if we confess our sins that You are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us. Cleanse us from burdens that are spiritual issues, Lord. If there's any guilt that the adversary is trying to heap upon us to keep us from serving You, Lord, I ask that You remove that spirit right now in the name of Yeshua Jesus. Because Your word says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. If we've confessed these things, we are cleansed. There is no guilt. There is no guilt. And Lord, if we're worried about the wrath, Your word says there is no condemnation for those who are in Messiah Yeshua, for those who are in Christ Jesus. So for that spirit of condemnation, I say to that, the Lord rebuke you. You have no power here. You have no authority here. Yeshua Jesus, in Your name, we just give You all the praise and all the glory, Lord. And Father, for my brothers and sisters here might be trapped in bondage of some way, shape, or form. And You know what that bondage issue is. You know what they are enslaved to, Lord. Father, we thank You for paying the price for their redemption. May they receive the redemption and may they get the help that they need. May they acknowledge that they cannot get out of bondage to whatever this thing is without You, Lord. And may they find some like-minded believers who they can hold each other accountable with. People who are going through these things, maybe there's a Celebrate Recovery group for them that can help them get through these things, Lord, so that they can serve you and run with patience the race that is set before them, laying aside every sin and entanglement, every burden, everything of bondage that will slow them down, Lord. I thank you for that. And Father, I thank you for your redemption and that we have hope. We have hope because what you did on a cross. So with that, we give you all the praise and glory. And Lord, I thank you for the deliverance that you have for us today and had for us today. And Lord, may we just receive the encouragement that we need today. May we leave this place uplifted, Lord. And so we give you all the praise and glory for that. And Father, by the blood of Yeshua, Father, I just ask, Lord, that you just put your anointing upon this house, Lord. You put your anointing upon this property, Lord. Any spirits that have been released, Lord, in this place, Lord, we thank you that you are going to take those spirits right now by the blood of Yeshua Jesus, and you're going to send those spirits to the pit to be held in judgment. Because, Lord, we know that Pastor Dave and his wife Barb need peace, and they don't need these things hanging around. And we don't want them hanging around either. So in the name of Yeshua, we give you the praise and glory that those things have been dealt with. Have been dealt with. So, Father, just like the lame man couldn't walk, but yet when he asked to receive a blessing, you restored his legs and he was walking and leaping and giving you all the praise. Father, may we leave this place walking and leaping and giving praise to you. In the mighty name of Yeshua Jesus. And all God's children said, Amen.